AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Viewer voice messages, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's get it to it. Don't forget, 20% off of the store until kickoff against the Atlanta Falcons. It's easy. You add an item to the cart, and you will see the coupon automatically put on there. Shuck It is the coupon. 20% off. Get in there ASAP like Rocky Sun. Okay, Divine Eternity kicks us off.
What's up, James?
What's up,
face of the franchise.
Best in the
Divine
business.
Again.
Yep.
I'm going to do my end-of-game reaction. I'm going to follow it up with a question.
All right.
So the Saints just got the win over the Carolina Panthers in Carolina.
Huge.
Got to throw that in there.
Yes.
That may mean something going forward. I'll probably explain that later. But, yeah, I think this team showed up. And they brought just enough pressure to make Bryce Young look like who we know he is, which is, you know, very underwhelming and very bad. Like, you've been.
Yeah, he's just bad. I mean, he's just a bad quarterback, and it's crazy that we are this far into it. And people are just now like, I don't know, guys, maybe Bryce Young isn't it. It's like, where have you been?
Advocating all year how bad this Carolina team is, even though they had a winning record. And yeah, the Saints just kind of exposed. I don't know how they've been getting away with these wins. I personally was kind of worried when we were stuck with the scoreboard at 10-7, because I kept saying, well, Carolina's been winning games similar to this all year, where it's very tight, low scoring. Neither team can seem to like really decide the game.
Yeah.
And you know, so far Carolina, they've been lucking themselves into it, but
the way that they've been doing it is just when they run for 200 yards a game. Like when Rico Dowdle runs for 180, like that takes a lot of pressure off of Bryce Young and the rest of that team. And yeah, if the game is close, which I was right there with you when it was 10-7, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, man, you gotta be kidding me. Like, is Carolina going to get away with another one? Like, are they about to do this again? And the Saints didn't let them.
You know, the Who Dat Nation showed up, and they wasn't having it today. So
yeah.
It feels good. If you remember, in one of my voice messages, I was complaining about Kellen Moore's his early game tactics, where basically I called him out on the coin toss. I was basically saying that Kellen should – when he win the toss, he should allow the other team to receive and allow us to get the ball at halftime, because I feel like the Saints need a chance to respond to whatever's going to happen in the first half. I feel like you can't really predict what's going to happen, but when your team is, you know, what your team is, a 1-8 team at the time, that can't go down and score early, I think you should just get a ball to the other team and – in case you go to halftime down two scores, one score, whatever it may be, you could come out and not allow the other team to have that opportunity to run the score up even more. But, you know, that was my opinion. I don't know if he switched it up this time because we was playing the Panthers. I don't know what it was, but I was happy to see that. I was glad that it felt good going into the half up by three, knowing that we were going to get the ball back. That's just kind of where I am with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's pros and cons both ways, for sure. Like, there's a reason to receive, and there's a reason to defer, for sure. So, but it's also good, or it's a positive sign, when, you know, you look at Kellen Moore, and he's willing to adapt. He's not just going to say, hey, we always receive. That's who we are. Yeah, he's thinking and pivoting and evolving, and he's making those little bitty decisions and those little bitty changes. And if something's not working, he'll switch. And if something is working, he'll stay the course. So I like that too, that he's not just saying, you know, he's not just kind of not thinking about it. He's just saying, nope, if we win the toss, we're receiving. The fact that he's willing to kind of take it on a week by week basis, I like that too.
Yeah, that's just kind of how I feel about that whole little scenario. But Tyler Shuck played admirably today. He played pretty well. I'm not about to put the flag in the sand. I'm not about to say he's the future. I mean, I know people are excited. They're going to say that. But, you know, I mean, he played decent today, man. I feel like Kellen Moore, and I hope I don't regret saying this, I feel like Kellen Moore should trust him more. There were some third downs where he wanted to try to run it up the gut.
Okay, so I said this during the game. It looked like a lot of those third and five halfback draws were checked into. And if you go back and watch the game, Tyler absolutely is killing off plays and checking plays and switching stuff up at the line, which, fine. Like, the fact that he already has, you know, that he can do that, okay. You know, Kellen's trusting him a lot. I think a lot of those were that. I think a lot of those were Shuck was seeing something, checked into the draw, and then whatever. I don't think Kellen was just rolling out there and called, you know, four third and five halfback draws in that game.
Or handed off, and we ended up in fourth and short situations. And by this point in the game, now we're trying to go for it on fourth down because it's such a tight game. And that was the one time we went four and out with Tyler Shuck taking a sack. And I'm like, man, if you're going to throw it, man, throw it on third down, because now we're in fourth and short, and now you decide to throw it. They're expecting it now. So, you know, it's just, I feel like he should probably trust Tyler a little more. I think Tyler's showing that he can see the field a little better now. And I like the idea of him being a taller quarterback.
Well, I mean, and it's also interesting because if Tyler is checking those plays out, then it is Kellen with the ultimate sign of trust that he's allowing Shuck to do that. You know, because some coaches wouldn't even let the quarterback change his play. But so, like, those wrinkles, we got to, like, those are the things that, you know, not everything is always as it seems on the field, or you never know the conversation being had in the helmet. So, you know, just remember that. But if that is what was happening, then Kellen definitely trusts Tyler if he's giving him that ability already.
No hate to Spencer Rattler, but, you know, Shuck does have that height advantage to where, you know, he can see downfield maybe a whole lot better. Even though our O-line, you know, they have those little goofy moments where they allow the pressure. But Shuck did pretty well with finding those deep plays. And that kind of was the defining factor of us getting his win. But my question is to you, face of the franchise, because you're the ultimate Saints therapist. Kind of put these Saints fans in check. I kind of have a feeling what you're going to say, but, you know, should we put a lot of stock into this win? Me personally, I feel like I feel better going into games with bad teams, but, you know, how much stock should we put into this win? Because it is the Carolina Panthers. They are a bad team, but who that, we got the win, and it feels good.
I mean, it's a step in the right direction for sure. I mean, we still have two wins, so you can't put that much into it as far as like this season or the short term or whatever. But it's just a step. It's a data point of, okay, we can play with teams, we can win games on the road, we can win, you know, doing certain things. It validates Kellen Moore, it validates Tyler Shuck a little bit. It just is a momentum builder, things like that. For sure, you can buy into, you know, like those kind of things. Absolutely, like you're like. Those are all true, for sure. And, you know, the whole Carolina thing, Carolina's a 5-win team. They were 3-1 at home. They just beat the Green Bay Packers. Like, they're a divisional opponent. When you're a 1-win team, you can't say, oh, well, they're bad, so it doesn't matter. Like, you can only beat who's in front of you, right? If we beat the Titans and the Dolphins and the Jets and the Panthers again and, you know, the Falcons, and all of a sudden we have 6 wins or whatever that math is, I mean, whatever, you know, like we can't say, oh, well, we only beat the bad teams. Who cares? Like it is what it is. So I wouldn't hang the banner. I wouldn't hang a banner that said beat Carolina for your second win, but it's a win. And for a team that desperately needed one, I think it's okay to be excited about it. All right. Next up, CJ.
Hey, what's up, James? I just want to say I really appreciate your content.
Yeah.
You know, I wish there were more creators like you covering the NFL because it's just made the sport far more fun for me.
Well, here's the question. Why do you even need them? You know, just, you know, got my channel. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I appreciate it.
I'm having more fun in a 2-8 season than I ever had in a 9-8 season or even a playoff season. So, I really appreciate your analytic approach.
Thank you, man.
You know, it's
very
balanced.
Nice.
You know, it's still entertaining.
That's a very nice thing to say.
Never lets one side dominate, unlike a lot of mainstream Saints content creators or commentators who are overly appealing to one direction. So I appreciate that.
Don't forget, go to Saints content creators. Just go to any of them, whoever. I will say this, there is a few that this does not apply to because they don't really dabble in this kind of content. Like NOF, they don't do like, you know, the scorching hot take content. Ross Jackson does not do the scorching hot take content. So they're not who I'm talking about here. But if you go to some channels and you look at their videos and you look at their views, there is like a 20x view number on negative scorching hot take videos. It just plays sometimes, and sometimes that's just what they got. You know what I mean? Like, all they got is the burn it down, sell the team, whatever. Like, that's just that's what they got. So, you know, some channels, some audiences like that. I've had people ask me when the Saints were during their losing streak. They were like, give us a rant. And I'm like, I just don't do that. That's just not who I am. It's just not how I watch the game or talk about that. I don't do that with my friends. Like, my friends and me don't we don't have like these like horrible rants, screaming, cursing, throwing stuff, whatever, watching a game or watching whatever. I was watching the LSU Alabama game at the Covington Beer Garden, actually, and full packed house of LSU fans, and there was a guy who was sitting at a table in front of me, and he was like Captain Rant, Captain Hot Take. I mean, he was just every negative play for LSU, he was freaking out, screaming, cursing, pacing around the entire restaurant. And I just remember looking at him like, man, I couldn't imagine, you know, like having dialogue with him about the team or about what's going on or anything like that, because it's just going to be that like scorching hot take, super shallow line of thinking.
But I do have two questions that I'd love to get your thoughts on. Obviously, the Carolina game could have been a fluke, right? We could definitely come back after the bye looking the exact same way we.
I will say, so about the fluke, that's why we dig into the stats. When you beat a team and you have like a 3-yard advantage in YPP, that ain't a fluke. That's an ass whipping. All right. We should have beat Carolina by probably closer to 21 or 24 points. That's why you dig into those numbers. If we would have had similar YPP, or if Carolina would have won YPP, or, you know, like the Carolina-Green Bay game. Carolina-Green Bay was a fluke. Green Bay never punted. Green Bay had more YPP. Green Bay had more total yards. Green Bay had more time of possession, but Carolina won the game. That's a fluke, right? The Saints' performance, now, is it a fluke that they won or whatever? But, you know, you can argue it's the NFL, randomness happens. But that's why we dig into those numbers. Because those numbers tell you what is a true win, a bad win, or a good loss, or whatever. That's why we do that. And, I mean, I say it all the time, and not every win is the same. Not every loss is the same.
We have all season long, but that said, I don't think anyone can deny that the team looked good in Carolina.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chris Olave looked really good. Juwan Johnson got not only, you know, targets, but actually caught the ball, you know, for a touchdown, no less. And, you know, Alvin Kamara had real momentum. You know, the run game wasn't stalling, and we were finally seeing yards after contact.
Yep.
You know, and that was great to watch. But with respect to the receivers and their progress, who do you think is really responsible for that? And could it possibly be Shuck's play, right? To me, Shuck seems far more willing to push the ball downfield and give his receivers a real chance to make a play. And I'm not sure if that has implications on how the receivers see themselves in the offense, if they feel they're more involved, but I know it has huge implications for how a defense prepares for you and approaches you. You know, if they know you're going to be conservative and, you know, it just gives them breathing room. They can keep everything in front and disrupt the short game, disrupt the run, and, you know, that's their win. But, you know, if there's a real threat of a deep shot or explosive play, it keeps defense on their toes. So that's something I don't think Rattler really brought to the table at the position. Now, I respect the hell out of Rattler. He's smart and safe and one of the few quarterbacks I actually trust to be a backup and not lose you games if he had to step in. But, you know, his conservative play style might have held the receivers back or even made them feel like they weren't really fully involved in the offense compared to Shuck's ability to threaten the deep ball and keep defenses honest. You know, at the same time, I still think the majority of the early season receiving struggles were on the receivers 100%. You know, there were way too many drop catchable passes. So, you know, maybe this new consistency isn't about Shuck at all. Maybe it's, you know, their own renewed work ethic. So I guess my question is, do you think Shuck help unlock this new growth from the receivers, maybe through something he's doing differently than Rattler, or, you know, was it their own improvement? Was it the coaching staff or a combination of all?
I'm kind of torn on it because, all right, so there was the game itself, there were absolutely a handful of plays that Shuck made, but whether it was him moving around in the pocket, extending the play, the throw itself, whatever, they were 100% on Shuck. Just like, he could have eaten the play, he could have thrown the ball away, he could have made a worse throw, he could have panicked, whatever, and he was 10 out of 10 on those plays. As far as like the receivers and all that, it's very hard for me to buy into, you know, the rotation of the ball being so drastically different from one quarterback to the other that it eliminates drops and it eliminates whatever. Like, there were a lot of catches with Juwan Johnson and Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed and Alvin Kamara where it flat out hit them in both hands wide open, like middle school level catch, right? And it ended up being a drop or whatever. Now, there is something to the angle and all of that from different quarterbacks. Like, I know Drew Brees was one where people talked about that it was hard to get used to catching balls from Drew Brees because of how the ball came out. Because he's throwing, because Brees was shorter. So picking up the ball is different because of where it's coming from when you're looking at the line or you're looking at whatever. So I know I've heard receivers say like it was kind of hard and it was tough to get used to that. It was difficult to get used to his angle and just trying to find the ball and understanding that. I've also heard that left-handed quarterbacks, that is a totally different thing catching their pass because it moves the opposite way that a right-hander will. And a lot of the times, if you have a starting right-handed quarterback, the team will not have a left-handed backup because in practice, the reps throw people off. So I don't know. I find it really hard to believe that Shuck's passes were that much different to where Olave turned into Randy Moss and Juwan Johnson all of a sudden can catch passes. I find that hard to believe, but I guess it's like theoretically possible that it, you know, positively impacted the receivers.
The next question I have is about the draft. You know, assuming Shuck stays steady, doesn't implode, you know, takes care of the ball, keeps the game close, what do you think that means for the draft as far as who we decide earlier on or what position we attack earlier on? I know a lot of fans are extremely tired of offensive line picks, but from what I'm seeing from Shuck, he looks like a Jared Goff type quarterback, a guy who can win you games if he has a good to decent pocket, you know, who can allow him time to make reads. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kellen Moore is also picking up on that and wants to solidify a line for Shuck going forward, especially if he wants to be more involved with the run game as well. But what do you think needs to take priority in the draft, especially of those earlier rounds? Is it a tight end, more explosive weapons, you know, or should we reserve some of that for a free agency? I would love to know your thoughts. Appreciate you and your content and who dat.
Thank you. Great call. Very well spoken. the draft is kind of a Sudoku puzzle, right? Like, you've got, okay, who is there? Who are the prospects that are there? Then you have, what do you need? Okay, then there's like an algorithm of positional value and impact and all that stuff. Like, you're not going to take a guard eight, or, you know, like top 10. You're not going to take a center in the top 5, even if you need them, okay? So, for example, the Saints don't need a tackle. They don't need a quarterback as of right now. So if you're in the draft and you're in the top 5, let's just say, and the draft board has 3 quarterbacks and a couple of edge and a tackle, your draft board is very different to that draft board, right? And like tight end, okay, we need a tight end. Is there a tight end good enough to be in the top 10? If not, okay, well then who's available in round 2? Who's available in round 3? Or is there anyone that lines up with where you're drafting and their value and all that stuff? So it's very... there is definitely an algorithm to it. As far as right now, I would say you're probably highlighting wide receiver. I think Caleb Downs is in play, the safety from Ohio State. I think Arvell Reese is absolutely in play. I think right now he'd be the guy, the linebacker from Ohio State. I think potentially running back, depending on where the Saints fall, and how good the running back from Notre Dame, Jeremiah Love, is that his name, I think? Jeremiah Love, I hope that's right. If he is a top 10 guy and the Saints are picking at like 9 or 10, and maybe they do take him, right? Beyond that, interior defensive line I think is something they need to look at. If there's a dominant run stopper, dominant interior defensive lineman, I think they could look there, but I don't know if there's a guy who would be like a top 6 pick there. I'm not sure about that yet. But I also think you can look at free agency for things like guard. The Saints desperately need better guards. Okay, well, can you find that in free agency? Can you find that in just a steady veteran? Tight end's kind of similar too. I'm not these exact players, but if you can go get Zach Ertz or TJ Hockenson or a player like that in free agency, okay. You know, like that's kind of all you need. You don't need... it's hard to find the next Brock Bowers, right? They're not in every draft, the next Tyler Warren. So maybe free agency is where you get a tight end and a guard and some of those other positions, and then you're building out your wide receivers, and defensive back is another one, like cornerback. If there's a really good cornerback available later on in the draft, okay, sure. You need to pick up guys like Will Johnson, Quincy Riley out of the first round. But if not, that's another position where you can kind of handle that in free agency. So the Saints have a lot that they can do with free agency mixed in with the draft. But as of right now, I think you can take quarterback off that list. All right, Daniel is up next.
What's up? How's it going, James?
What's up, man?
I just want to tell you, as a New Orleans Saints fan, watching us beat the Carolina Panthers 17-7, I am sold.
Yeah.
Tyler Shuck is him. He is the franchise quarterback of this team, man.
There it is.
Can you believe it? With that incredible touchdown pass to Chris Olave, with that incredible maneuver that he had on that 3rd and 12 to hit Juwan Johnson wide open. And then he was able to also on another 3rd and 12 later in the game throw a touchdown pass, an absolute dime to Juwan Johnson, who's holding on to the ball. Like Tyler Shuck, he is him, man. Wow. I am telling you, this guy is absolutely unbelievable. And then pause. Let me stop right here. These are how a bunch of Saints fans are acting after this game.
Did we just get tricked? Was that just an acting job? Did we just get tricked by Daniel?
Let me start off with this, man. Let me give Tyler Shuck his just due. I grade him with an A. Last week against the Rams, I gave him a C. This week, I give him an A.
All right.
He absolutely
that sounds about right.
Had a great game. He was decisive. He took the deep shots. Wasn't perfect, obviously. It wasn't a perfect game. I'm not saying that. Like, let's temper some people's expectations. Calling him the franchise quarterback, thinking he's the next Drew Brees. I'm like, man, let's just plan the next Super Bowl parade because we're going to the Super Bowl this year. We're going to finish 9-8. We're going to beat everybody in the playoffs and just go to the Super Bowl.
Could you imagine if we just won out?
It's not that simple, y'all. So let me just acknowledge that Tyler Shuck had a great game. Number two. When the Saints defeated the New York Giants 26-14, the defense was the story of that game. Spencer Rattler got the win. He had a great touchdown pass to Rashid Shaheed, and he needed that win for his confidence and for Kellen Moore to get his first win as a coach. Now Tyler Shuck comes in. He has a win now in the NFL as a starting quarterback. Good for Kellen Moore once again. He has a second win now.
Yeah.
But let's second be real. The Saints are 2-8. They had one great week against the Carolina Panthers, who are struggling at their quarterback position. They're not sold on Bryce Young. I know I wouldn't be as a Panthers fan. I think Bryce Young definitely at this point is someone you got to consider moving off of.
Yeah.
And this Saints defense was able to make plays against a struggling team who, even on their win.
Well, hold on now, because they also completely bottled up Rico Dowdle, who was certainly not struggling. He came in as the best running back in the NFL. He came in, you know, hotter than a $2 pistol. He was rolling. So Bryce Young sucks, but Rico Dowdle was certainly not coming in sluggish or slow. And the Saints completely stopped him.
Win streak. They weren't exactly, you know, playing efficient football, complimentary football here. So I just wanted to go ahead and say my piece with that, that Tyler Shuck had a great game, one great game. Let's not crown people. Let's not, you know, increase our expectations of this team and claim that all is well in the world when things go right for one week. I just want you to be able to agree with me on that, that we can be excited and just say, you know what, Tyler Shuck had a great game, the defense balled out, but let's be real here and look at, hey, you had mentioned before, 17 points. That's not always going to win you every single week.
No, but 6 yards per play certainly will. 17 points is whatever, but 6 yards per play, you know, a 14-play, 8-minute drive to end the game, like those things do travel.
So that's a little bit glaring. Let's just point out that. We can point out the bad things even in victory, all right? It's a lot easier.
I don't think the 17 points is a bad thing. I don't think the 17 points is something that I would be concerned about.
Do that. It feels a lot better to do that. And let's realize that this defense, like I said, had a great, magnificent game plan for creating all those turnovers, forcing the mistakes, but we're not going to play the Carolina Panthers every week. I realize we have a lighter schedule at the end of this year, especially after this bye week. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch much of this game today, given my circumstances. But from what I saw, I can point out that we played a great game. Tyler Shuck definitely balled out with 282 yards and 2 touchdowns. 19 to 27, like 19 completions out of 24 attempts. That's awesome. I'm not trying to discount him. You've heard me before that I do like Spencer Rattler, but I'm going to be fair. And with being fair, I also got to be a realist. Okay? So, anyways, just wanted to go ahead and point that out there to be like, Saints fans, you can be excited, but we're a 2-8 football team. We're not crowning people yet. Can we at least get a larger sample size? Because that's what this year is for development, seeing what you need, and we're not trying to crown people. Okay? Let's not make him the savior of this franchise, make him a Drew Brees. That's all I got to say, man. And with that, you probably analyzed my response already. Appreciate what you're doing, man. And thank you for allowing us to call in and give us your thoughts on this. Being respectful, of course. So I got to go. Take it easy. Peace, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, look, we don't have to do either, all right? We don't have to crown him, but we can just take it one game at a time, one week at a time. I've used Mac Jones as an example before. That was an entire season where he was basically the rookie of the year. He almost won it. He almost ended up beating Jamar Chase out, but he didn't. But his rookie year was insane. And even after that year, it's like, probably not enough time to truly know if someone's a franchise quarterback, whatever. So I do agree in the, like, 50,000-foot view, yeah, you don't have to crown somebody after one performance or 17 performances or even 2 years. I mean, you've got time. And that goes for everybody. It goes for Kellen Moore. It goes for Brandon Staley. It goes for Tyler Shuck. It goes for everyone on the team. Like, we can kind of take our time, and we don't have to make a call. We don't have to fill in the blank. It's not a question right now. It's not a question of, is Tyler Shuck the franchise quarterback? The question is Tyler Shuck playing good enough to start next week? And then you just keep rolling that over and rolling that over and rolling that over. And then at the end of the season, the question is now, is Tyler Shuck good enough to where the Saints don't have to draft anybody? That's it. And then next year, we'll do the same thing. Is he good enough to continue being the starting quarterback? And then at the end of that year, it'll be the same thing. Is Tyler Shuck good enough, or do we need to draft a quarterback? Like, we don't have to put any kind of qualifier on this thing right now. And that is not, again, not just for Shuck, but for everyone, for Kellen. You know, like, we don't, I mean, it was week three, and I had people saying, I don't know, man, I don't think Kellen Moore is it. It's like, guys, we can't even have that conversation. We're not even in that world. We're not even entertaining that until, like, next, deep into next year. So it is a long-term thing, but I also don't think, I mean, it's okay to be excited. It's okay to see that performance and be like, hell yeah, this can be something here. I'm excited about this. It feels good. Like, we don't have to be emotionless. You can be absolutely thrilled. You can be absolutely excited. You can be over the moon. That's understandable. It was a good win. The Saints fans certainly deserved one. It feels good to finally get one. I'm with you there. So, you know, it's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, but I think it's okay to be excited as long as, you know, you're not putting crazy expectations, because eventually Tyler Shuck will throw a pick. He will fumble. He will get sacked. He will throw a pick six. Like, those things happen. He will look ridiculous at some point. And the question is, can you have the patience to take the good with the bad and not whiplash yourself going back and forth? All right. Lupski. Here you go.
James Scrametta. Nobody do it better.
True.
He gets the girls Moetta.
Hold up. Hold on now. Family channel. Family channel.
Listen, man. This is right after the Carolina game, bro. We're so back.
There you go.
I was just depressed. The last week after the Rams game, I was so done over this team, bro. I apologize because I was probably sending you hella messages telling you that Kellen Moore sucks and that you suck. I didn't say that you suck.
But thank you. Okay.
I said that Kellen Moore probably sucks and he's probably not ready to be the Saints coach. So glad but I had to realize. See, I'm an investor, right?
Okay.
I like to invest in crypto and
yeah.
I heard you talk about Cardano, so I know you're up on game a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I mean, nobody wants Cardano to succeed more than me, all right? Cardano, Chainlink, Algorand, all of it. I'd be the happiest person in the world if ADA got over a dollar.
There's this one coin I mess with. It's XLM, right?
Yep.
There was one time where I got my... tax refund and I wanted to dump like a whole bunch of money into it, and it was at 2 cents, right? It was very low. Nobody was talking about it, very low point. And I was in it for a minute, right? And I got impatient because it stayed at 2 cents for the longest, and I pulled it. I'm like, bro, this coin freaking sucks. And 2 days, like a week later, a month later, it shot all the way up to 20 cents.
Oh, 10x.
I've been patient.
Ooh.
I wasn't patient.
Yeah.
So, what I'm saying
valuable
is,
lesson.
I feel like Kellen Moore, I just need to be patient. I was jumping to conclusions. Sorry. You're the face of the franchise. I should have knew better just to listen. And, yeah, Kellen Moore, yeah, he's actually, yeah, he's pretty solid, bro. I think he's a new coach, and he should be a good coach. He should.
It's amazing this call came at the perfect time after we just had this conversation with the last call. This is a good example of how you can get caught in this whiplash where you're living and dying with each performance and really good performances versus really bad performances, and you're not seeing things clear. You know, you got to kind of just believe in what you believe in, like the XLM, for example. You got to remember, why did I invest in this in the first place? What did I believe about this? Do I still believe those to be true? If I do, then I can be patient. If I believe in it, and if I have a reason, then okay. You know, and that's why we cover this team the way we do. We break things down to give you the reason, whether it's good or bad, because like when Pete Carmichael and Dennis Allen was here, we were saying, look, this is broken. Here is evidence that it is broken. Here is evidence that this ain't working, right? So it goes both ways. But if you believe in what you're seeing and if you believe in whatever, then it's easy to be patient and you understand why you believe or you have whatever to back you up, then it's easy to sit back and be patient. So, you know, and again, it goes for everything.
I don't know about that better than Sean Payton. He might be a little wild for that one, but hey, we're going to wait and see. He might be. The last thing I want to talk about, Tyler Shough and Spencer Rattler.
Okay.
Spencer Rattler, that was my guy. Last year, I seen him, and he was playing with in that Clint Kubiak system. He was looking nice. He showed flashes. He was looking pretty nice to me. So, I thought in the Kellen Moore system, he'll look pretty nice, and he did look pretty good. He wasn't bad at all. He did look pretty good. But I'll say this: there's a pub on my route, and I stay in Atlanta, Georgia. My mom from Atlanta, my dad from the Ninth Ward, became a Saints fan. It's like picking Democrat, Republican. I went with whatever, right?
Yeah.
I made my own decision. So I stay in Atlanta, UPS driver. On my break, I hit this little pub. It's a little ducked off pub. Nobody knows about it, but it has the greatest food ever to me. If you come to Atlanta, go look up this club, this pub called Bantam.
Okay.
So every time I go.
Fun fact, I almost moved to Atlanta. Before I moved to New Orleans, I had a choice, and I could choose to I could have chosen Atlanta or New Orleans, and I had chosen Atlanta, and I was about to move to Atlanta, and things changed up literally the last minute, ended up moving to New Orleans. It's crazy how butterfly effect stuff happens, but I almost moved to Atlanta.
I get the burger without a doubt. Get the burger, add bacon, classic burger, onions, tomatoes. Whatever, cheese, with the sweet potato fries and a side of aioli, so I can dip my sweet potato fries in aioli. This burger is like one of the best burgers I've ever had in my life. It's nice. It gives me comfort because, you know, it's a standard burger.
Yeah, it's delicious.
One time on the menu, though, I seen something that said hanger steak.
Okay.
It said steak with blue cheese crumbles.
Hold up.
Mashed potatoes.
I like what I'm hearing.
And green beans.
Yeah.
Never had it, never seen it. It didn't. It is. It sound meh. You know what I'm saying? It sounded all
right. Right.
But I wanted to switch it up, so I tried it. Right.
Sure.
Kid you not, this was the best steak I ever had in my life, and the blue cheese crumbles pair so well with the mashed potatoes.
Oh yeah, I mean, come on, black and blue.
The burger, that's Mr. Rattler.
Oh.
Now the steak, that's Tyler Shough.
Damn.
That boy is nice. I think it was the factor of the unknown because nobody really, I mean, we've seen the combine, silly combine videos, all that, so we didn't really know what to expect from Tyler Shough. But from what I've seen, just this game, Tyler Shough played nice. He
played
nice.
Played really good.
And I can tell that pocket, like his pocket awareness, I feel like he learned a lot of that from Spencer. Like, I feel like.
Maybe. I mean, a lot of people, like I had someone ask me, there was like, how did Tyler not win the quarterback battle? And look, it was not too long ago where rookie quarterbacks sat for a year, 2 years, 3 years. You know, like it takes a minute. And yeah, we have no clue what Tyler learned from Rattler or Kellen or whoever during rookie minicamp, training camp, preseason. They practiced during the week. So yeah, I mean, all of this helped develop and help Tyler be ready for that Panthers game.
Like, that's the one bag he needed, that pocket awareness and moving around in the pocket, yeah, and extending plays. I feel like he kind of – I think he needed to see that in Spencer, because I think his one knock, if I'm not mistaken, coming out of the draft, is he fold under pressure when the blitz comes and stuff like that. But
yeah, his big red flag was how he – handles like free rushers and pressure and blitzes and things like that, and will he panic? You know, can he stand in the pocket? Can he take the hit? Whatever. Yeah, you're correct about that.
So far, that boy looking nice.
Yeah.
Nice. But One last thing before I go, man. Like I said, I stay in Atlanta, whole bunch of Falcons fans. I tell them all the time, this is what I tell them all the time. You got Taylor Swift butt, right? You got Meg Thee Stallion butt. One butt is bigger than the other, but at the end of the day, they're both butt. Hey, man, you have an excellent time, bro. Thanks for doing everything you're doing. Like I said, you're one of the best dudes out there when it comes to content.
Love the best.
Content, man.
Thank
Keep
you.
Keep doing what you're doing based on the franchise. Yes, sir. I'm out.
That was an incredible call. I mean, we had Hanger Steak talk, Burger talk, Meg Thee Stallion butt talk, Taylor Swift butt talk. That was a crazy... I mean, that was some wise words at the end there. One's bigger than the other, but they're both butts. Unbelievable. I'm not even sure. I mean, talk about mic drop. Now, here's the question. What do you do when you get the Hanger Steak and it's not good? You know it's delicious, but one time you get it overcooked or undercooked, whatever. It's not as fresh. Something went wrong. Do you write it off forever? Or do you say, eh, maybe this was a one-off. I know it can be good. I'll try it again. What do you do? Because at some point, Tyler Shuck will not look like he looked against Carolina. So do you have, or you should, remember and say, okay, it's not one performance. It's more of an average. It's more of a blend. Just like the Hanger Steak thing. If you get it five times and it's the best steak you've ever had, and then the sixth time you get it, it's absolutely garbage. Maybe it was a new cook. Maybe something happened back there. Who the hell knows? But if you go back and then get it again the seventh time and it's good, blip on the radar, right? So that's how we have to view this team. We have to be able to say, okay, what's the average? What's the consistency? What are the outliers? You know, so remember that as we go forward with Shuck and Kellen Moore. There's going to be some games where Kellen Moore has a shocker. There's going to be some times where he's, you know, the next Sean McVay. But you can't whiplash yourself, because that's how you end up selling XLM. You know, that's how you end up selling it before it goes 10X. Sometimes you just got to hold. Sometimes you just got to wait. All right. Last call for this one. We'll do a part one, then we'll do a part two, and maybe even a part three. But Evan's going to finish this off here.
Hey, James. Calling on a Monday morning after a Saints win. Much better way to start the week.
Yeah, no doubt.
First, I'm just really impressed with Kellen Moore having a 1-8 team that ready to play, having him play that hard.
Great point, Evan, because after the trade deadline, those guys could have quit. Those guys could have said, okay, we sold off our good players. We got assets back. We're building for the future. This season's over. Nah, 1-2-3 Cancun. They could have easily folded up shop, but they bounced back and had their best performance of the season. That is some serious leadership from Kellen Moore. That is some serious preparation, and there is something in that locker room.
Traveling across the country, that was no easy feat, and real impressive. So kudos to him.
No doubt.
Last week, I called you asking about the Kellen Moore offense and, you know, what we're supposed to be looking for, because it was so hard to see any sort of positivity or production. And now, all of a sudden, here it was. You know, everything kind of flowed really well. And it's especially considering we traded Trevor Penning and Rashid Shaheed to come into this game losing those pieces and to play so well. It's something I've seen in the NFL before, where, for example, with Cleveland, when like Odell Beckham would go down with an injury when he had Baker and Landry, suddenly he went down and that offense kind of opened up a bit. And I almost wonder if there was we were trying to feed Shaheed those deep shots so frequently, this made it a little bit easier for everybody to settle in. I'd love your thoughts on that, because it just seemed like everybody kind of found their place a little better. The offensive line, you know, they have their moments where they're not playing that great, but it really seemed like there wasn't as many miscommunications and free rushers like we had seen, which made everything so difficult. The run game really started to find its footing, especially as the game went on. I think early there was this kind of Taysom packages that really seemed to take the rhythm out of it. But then as the game progressed, the last drive, they used that really well. So hopefully they're learning and finding out like how to best utilize these players and these packages. And I would love to see us build off of this. Either way, we have a whole week to enjoy this. We're not going to lose next week. And then it's on to Atlanta in the Superdome. So really excited. It's nice to be excited, and just a great job by everybody.
Yeah,
thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, sometimes, and it's called a fallen star theory, where sometimes when your best player goes down, and sometimes the other guys lift up because they know that they have to put a lot more on their shoulders and they can't rely on whoever. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if like the trade deadline, if it just woke people up, or I really don't know. It was just a great performance. And, you know, Chris Olave was going through a lot in that game. I mean, between, you know, playing in Carolina for the first time since his injury, and Rashid Shaheed, his best friend on the team, no longer being there. Like, so maybe he was just extra motivated, and maybe he was just locked in. I don't know. But yeah. And then the offensive line, you know, how much miscommunication was on Trevor, and all of a sudden now you've got some guys in there who are possibly a little bit more of a more understanding of the offense or their role or what they're supposed to be doing, and eliminate some miscommunication. Certainly possible, for sure. And the important thing is now to build off of that. The important thing now is to build off of what we saw, right? Can we run the football 20-something times with Alvin Kamara for success? Can we continue to have these, you know, 7.5-minute drives when we need them? Can we continue to push the ball downfield? Can Chris Olave be this guy who's coming up with these spectacular catches? Can all this happen on a consistent basis? That's what we have to see now moving forward. And we know what Kellen wants to do offensively. We know he wants to run the football. We know he wants to play with pace. We know he wants to dominate the time of possession. We know all that stuff to be true. So can they start doing it? Because the more you start doing it, the more you build out that identity. And the more now we understand, okay, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is what we're trying to do week in, week out. This is how we're going to attack the game. Before, it was just kind of a hodgepodge of like, okay, now Alvin's running 6 times. Now, you know, this we're throwing the ball here. Now it's this. Now there's whatever. I think this game was a good launching point for, all right, this is what we're trying to do. And it's up to the Saints to execute week in and week out. And that's how you build an identity. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for part one. Thank you to everyone who called in. Remember, if you want to call in, there's always a link to SpeakPipe in every single video I do. It's super easy. You can call in on your computer. You can call in on your phone and talk to the face of the franchise. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching. I will see you in the next video. Peace.